Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, get your Bibles and go with me to Hebrews. And guess what chapter? Chapter number one. Your Bible ought to fall open to it by now. If it isn't, it will soon do that. In chapter number one, and we're still in verse number three. As far as I know, this is the last time we're in verse number three. We've been there for like months. God has been so good. Let me read it to you. And then what I'm going to do is give you the title. Verse number three starts out at chapter number one of Hebrews. Now, wait a minute. Before I start to read, listen. Listen. Calm yourself down. Because you're moving real fast. No, you're not. Calm yourself down. Here's why. Because I want you to listen closely today. I don't want you to daydream. This is a message that God gave me to give to you. And if that's true, then you're going to walk out of here today with something you never had before. And you're going to be blessed out of your socks. So I want you to settle down, not think about what you're going to do later on, not whether you're going to lunch, where you're going, what you're going to do next week, your appointments that are ahead of you. And I want you to concentrate for the next 30 minutes on the Word of the Lord, because I'm going to give you a lot of stuff and you got to go with me. Is that okay? I'm going to read to you from this wonderful verse. It's so power-packed. We've been there for months. Who spends months in one verse? This church does. Hebrews, the first chapter, verse number three says, "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power." Boy, those are good messages. "And he had by himself purged our sins." Wasn't that a great message? "And sat down." Wasn't that a phenomenal message? "At the right hand, oh my goodness. That which comes from the right hand of God is like amazing scripture. Of majesty on high." And today I want to share with you what God gave me called incorporated into his majesty. Sometimes we don't understand that, but here God is making a statement. He's making a statement, yes, about Jesus and how great Jesus is and how magnificent Jesus is and how wonderful Jesus is, but there's more than just that. He's also talking about you. And when he talks about Jesus, you can't separate yourself from him because, quite frankly, you are in him. According to the word of the Lord, in fact, as Jesus is seated at the right hand of majesty on high, the Bible says in Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number six, so are you there at the right hand of God spiritually. You're here physically, but spiritually you're with Jesus. And we have this mindset in American churches that God is up there somewhere and I'm down here. Hopefully he'll hear me. Hopefully he'll see me. Hopefully he'll take time out of his busy schedule to answer some of my prayers. But you never really know. And God wants us to get a different mindset about who we are in Christ Jesus. And when I read about Jesus being at the right hand of the Father, being at the right hand of majesty, something takes place that is absolutely bizarre. If you don't understand what he's saying and the fullness of what he's saying, then what you're having is you're going to have a prayer life that's less than what it could be. You're going to have a relationship with God less than what it could be. You're going to fulfill things that you don't want to fulfill and do things you don't want to do because you don't quite know where your place is. But if you understand that, it's an amazing understanding. And it's a fulfillment of your heart's desire by the way you were made to understand this. Majesty on high. Let me give you an illustration of the word majesty. The word majesty is a bizarre word. It really means this, the ultimate greatness. That there's nothing else that's greater. There's nobody else that's greater. There's nothing that's greater than him. He is the ultimate of ultimates. That's the Father. Jesus is with him. And you're in Jesus. The word majesty incorporates sovereign power and authority. But a lot of times we'll hear the word sovereign, we don't think very much of it. We know what it means, we've even said it, but we don't understand the fullness and the depth of the word sovereign. Let me explain to you what it means. The word sovereign of power and sovereign in authority means simply this, an independent to self-government. There's an independence in the Father that he doesn't depend on anybody else. He's not looking for somebody else's agreement. He's not looking for somebody else to make a statement. He's not looking for somebody else's input. He's not looking for somebody else to come along and make it happen. When he says it, that settles it. And without an understanding of that, we always judge God. God, this isn't fair. God, this isn't right. How come it's happening that way? It doesn't make sense to me. This couldn't be possibly God. And we look at God through our own eyes, through our own understanding, instead of understanding that God is the ultimate of everything. And what he says goes, no matter if it fits with your feeling, no matter if it fits with your thinking, what he says goes. What has my thinking got to do with it? He's not asking me what I think. He's not asking me what society says is right and wrong. He tells us what's right and wrong. And what's right is what he says, not what society says. A lot of times we don't understand that. We say, that's not fair. Yeah, it may be not fair in terms of what people think, but it's fair if God said it's fair. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. When I consult with something, I talk to Debbie about something, I may want to do something. You know, like, gee, Deb, I want to do this or do that. And she said, oh, no, you don't want to do that because here's what will happen. And most of the time, to tell you the truth, I won't do what I talk to her about or something because she'll have a different approach to it. That is not sovereign. I am not sovereign. Some of us try to run our homes like we're sovereign. I have a partnership going with my wife. I have to listen to what she has to say. She's got input to me. That keeps me from being sovereign. The one who's sovereign is God himself. Is anybody listening? And in order to understand this a little bit better, the word incorporated, in fact, if you put the title back up, the word incorporated into his majesty is an interesting word. It really means that he's bringing you and I along, and he's taking us into who he is. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, if he's bringing me along and taking me into who he is, that ought to change my whole approach to how I see myself and what I do in life. Because he's now bringing me into who he is. I'm not bringing him into who I am, and that's the problem of the American church, is we're always looking for God to come into who we are. We're made in the image of God. God's not made in our image. And he brings us along, and he brings us and incorporates us into him. And in him, there's a unique abilities that he has that are available that we just need to access. But we don't do it. Let me just talk to you just for a moment. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Listen closely. The other day, I was reading a business magazine. And a large internet corporation that seems to be buying up a lot of smaller corporations is buying them up. And this smaller corporation was bought out by this large internet corporation. The smaller corporation was pretty productive in its own abilities at that time. The larger corporation comes along and buys the smaller corporation. Taking that smaller corporation after paying for it and absorbing it into the larger corporation, and now the smaller corporation takes on the authority of the larger corporation and the power of the larger corporation and the greatness of this larger organization. So all of a sudden, everybody in that corporate world viewed before this was a little corporation, but now sees it as a very powerful corporation because a little corporation that was bought by the big corporation and was now incorporated into all the assets and the power of the big corporation. And it's the same thing with you and I, that Jesus comes along and buys you and brings you and incorporates you into majesty on high. And all of a sudden now you have the same authority and power and access that God has in the majesty on high. The article went on to say something fascinating. As I read the article, it made this kind of a statement. It said, you know, in about a year to a year and a half, the company will be productive. And I thought, gee, this company's already productive. What do they mean, a year, a year and a half? It took about a year to a year and a half for the smaller company to be influenced by the bigger company on how to do business according to the new ownership of the big company. And they didn't just jump in and say, well, we'll keep doing what we want to do. Now we have company policies, we have company ways, we have company situations that we do. They learn after a year to a year and a half how to do business according to the plan of the big company. That's exactly what takes place with us. Jesus buys us, incorporates us, and now we're learning, when you come into here, how to be transformed into the image of who God is so that we can be what he would have us to be upon the planet. And that takes time. Is anybody listening? And so when you read in that verse, at the right hand is Jesus, on majesty on high, it changes the whole world if you understand what he's talking about in relationship to you. Now, I found this incredible verse, that's a great verse, as I was studying the Word of God. And just jumped out at the page of me. I want to take you to 1 Chronicles 29 chapter. In fact, it's very important that if you get to 1 Chronicles 29 chapter, if you have what I have is a little ribbon, mark 1 Chronicles 29 chapter with your ribbon so that we can return to it from time to time. Here is, listen closely, the best description I could find in Scripture of the word majesty. Are you following me? Because, listen, what he is what you, the little company, is going to become. Are you following me? And it's going to take some transformation for that to happen, but it's going to be good. Verse number 11 of the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Circle the word greatness. The power. Circle the word power. And the glory, circle the word glory. And the victory, circle the word victory. And the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. If you never knew anything else but that verse, that'd make you shake in your boots about who God is. And that's great about who God is, and that's great about who Jesus is, but I'm here on this planet. And I got to know who I am in Christ Jesus and what God expects from me. And when I see about how great he is, these four words I would have you to circle: greatness and power, glory and victory. Because this tells us what we should know of his majesty. Here's the first word, greatness. Let's understand it so we can see how we relate to it. Did you hear me? Let's understand it so we can see how we relate to it. The word greatness up there. Greatness that's being described here is a greatness that is absolutely beyond, greater than all. Beyond all, above all. Nothing like him. He is non-dependable upon anything. He is greater beyond measure. We constantly measure stuff all the time, don't we? We measure, you know, how cool somebody is by how they look or how much money they have. We measure about their education. We measure about their cars. We measure about this and we measure about that on a constant basis. We're always measuring somebody, setting someone up and seeing something. But here's a different kind of a measurement that you and I are unfamiliar with. May I share what it is? It's a greatness beyond measure. In other words, your mind and my mind can't even go there. And if my mind can go there, it's still greater than where my mind can even go. Can you imagine such a thing? Beyond our description, beyond our definition of greatness. That's how great he really is. You can describe the greatest things. You can describe the most emotional things. You can describe the funnest, greatest, most exciting things in your life. And it still will come up short to what he really is. Because you don't have words. And that's why I say sometimes you just need to have your prayer language. I don't know how to describe the greatness, but all of a sudden my prayer language kicks into gear. And I don't know what's being said. It's the language of angels. So guess what? Let them describe it. But a greatness beyond even our own comprehension. That's who you are associated with. That's who you are incorporated in. Not a greatness of this world, not a greatness of the intellect, not a greatness of finances, not a greatness of worldly fame, but a greatness of Most High, majesty on high. Where before you used to be associated with not greatness, never been in greatness, never thought much of yourself as being anything at all. But all of a sudden now here, the little company's learning how to deal with business like the big company, and we're learning about His greatness, which is being passed on to us. Is anybody listening? A greatness beyond we can possibly imagine. In fact, listen, hold your place there in 1 Chronicles and go with me to Deuteronomy in the 3rd chapter. In Deuteronomy, the 3rd chapter, let's check it out ourselves. When you get to the 3rd chapter, verse number 24, it says this, O Lord God, You have begun to show Your servant. Aren't you happy that God shows us what to do? Amen. You have just begun to show Your majesty. You've begun to show Your servant. And He comes along and He makes this statement. He says, Your greatness and Your mighty hand, for what God is there in the heavens or in the earth who can do anything like Your works and Your mighty deeds. Oh my. That's Jesus. That's our great God. He's great, but you're in Him. You used to be in the world, but now you're in the world and not of the world. And you're now of Jesus. You are the righteousness of God. Where? In Christ Jesus. You abide in Him. And when you're in Him, I'm talking, you have access to His greatness that's beyond human understanding. Every day, you ought to be tapping into His greatness. Second thing, what we saw, if you go back with me to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11, we had you circle the word, what we should know about His majesty. And the second thing is power. I had you circle the word power. Power, again, beyond measure. Power to us is who's the richest. Who's the prettiest? Who's the smartest? Who's the coolest? Who's the most educated? Who's got the biggest house? Who's got the biggest car? Worldly powers like armies and military uniforms and powerful might and ships and boats and planes and rockets and nuclear weapons. That's the power we know. But we're not talking about that kind of power. You've heard me say it before. We're talking about a God that's so powerful that when He speaks, universes come into existence. What kind of power is that? That planets just explode. Science tells us that universes keep growing all the time. That's because God keeps speaking. It's that simple. And this is the kind of power we're talking about. The power to hold the sun. The power to hold the moon. The power that brings the ocean to the right place so it doesn't flood the land. The power to keep your heart beating. The power to put an atmosphere around the planet. Then anything that comes near our planet burns up before it hits us. That's the power we're talking about. We're not talking about worldly power. We're not talking about military force. We're not talking about police power. We're not talking about the power of motors and engines and stuff. We're talking about the power of God, and you have the access. You got to be kidding me. And why is it that most people in Christendom just walk around wondering when God's going to do something for them when God has already done something for them? Well, maybe God will do something for me today. Maybe God will hear my prayers. Let me tell you something. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you are incorporated into His majesty. And you have greatness available to you. You have His power available to you. Which brings us back. Go ahead. You're right there in 1 Chronicles 29. Verse 11 is cool, but I like verse 12. Both riches and honor come from... No, wait a minute. I could preach a week just on that. Somebody said, I'm not sure God wants me blessed. Then why does he say this? I'm not sure God wants me to have any money. I guess I'm just destined to be broke down, busted, disgusted for the rest of my life. Well, let me tell you something. You're not broke down, busted, disgusted. You're destined to be stupid if you stay in that spot. Read your Bible. The Bible says both riches and honor come from God. Didn't say held back from God. Says come from God. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about power. That's another sermon. And you reign over all. And in your hand is power. And my, what's right hand? Which hand is that? Right hand. And in your hand is to make great and to give strength to all. God wants to take his greatness and make you great. God wants to take his power and give you strength every day. I don't know about you, but in this lost, dying world of perversion and disgust, I need the power of God to exist. And you do too, and you know it. So here he comes along, makes a statement. First thing he says is God's greatness is in his majesty. And then he comes and talks about his power. Third thing I had you circle back in 1 Chronicles 29, verse number 11, was the word glory. Now you heard me talk about glory a lot. You've heard me mention the word glory. I've defined and taught you on the word glory, but for those of you that are new, let me share with you. The word glory does not mean some magnification, some glorification in such a way there's illumination, some sparkly a presence of God. That is not glory. Glory means manifested goodness. When God's manifested his goodness, brought about his goodness, that is his glory. He's so full of good that every knee will bow when the glory of God hits them because of the weight of the glory. See, where there's the weight of the glory, it'll cause every knee to bow. Because his goodness, you can't get in his goodness without and keep a dry eye. That's why he said to Moses, he said, listen, I'm hiding you in this rock. My goodness is going to pass by, but you can't see my face because if you do, you'll die because you couldn't handle the goodness of God. And now here God says, I am giving you the goodness of God. I'm not going to try to get it to you. I'm giving it to you by faith. You need to take it. Is anybody listening? That's the glory of God. Found this cool verse as God was leading me. 2 Corinthians. Let's just pop it up. 3rd chapter, verse number 18. Now watch these verses. Listen to the verse talking about the glory of God. But we all, not some, with unveiled faces. Listen to this. Beholding as in a mirror. Now I want you to know something. When you look into a mirror, can I ask you what you see? You see who? Yourself. Now, so let's read the verse and understand what it's saying. But we all, with unveiled face, in other words, there's nothing covering us. And he says, look and see. The word beholding means look and see. As in a mirror. When you're in a mirror and you're looking, what do you see? You. But he doesn't say you. What does he say? Look in the mirror. The glory of the Lord. When you see you, you are the manifested goodness of God. You're not a low life slum bag. You're not a failure. You're not somebody can use and kick around, kick in the corner. I don't care who you are. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you are the manifested goodness of God walking upon the planet. And you look in the mirror and you will see God's glory. The problem with that is most people look in a mirror. They don't see God's glory. Look in the mirror and say, oh man, I'm getting uglier. Woo, that devil sat on my face last night. Get up out of bed and say, oh my goodness, I'm losing more hair. I'm getting fatter all the time. None of my clothes fit. I'm just a loser. I can't make it. I'm just not going to do anything. Nobody will ever love me. Nobody will ever care about me. When in truth you are. You may not feel like it. You may not act like it, but you're the little corporation that's learning how to become the big corporation. Is anybody listening? But he goes on and he says, the glory of the Lord are being transformed. That's that little corporation becoming the big corporation because it's been purchased. Transform into the rotten image of the devil. See, it doesn't say that. Into the same image. What image? From glory, God's manifested goodness, to God's manifested goodness. You will display it to a lost and dying world. That's what he's talking about. The glory of God, when you talk about the majesty of God, it is the greatness of God. It is the power of God. It is the glory, his goodness manifested. God wants to bestow upon your life the goodness of God, and it's received by faith. Whew. Which brings us to the fourth word I had you circle as we take a look at this wonderful subject called what we should know about his majesty. The fourth word is a great word, if you will, called victory. I don't know about you, but I love victory. I was watching a ball game last night. Saw victory. Saw one team there happened to be in Philadelphia, if you watched any of it. Philadelphia was very loud through 9 innings, but they were silenced at the end of the 9th inning because San Francisco beat them. San Francisco was making so much noise because they had the victory. Victory means you shout. Victory means you're excited. Victory means you won and you didn't lose. Inside of you is not a loser spirit, but a victorious spirit. That means you can have victory in your marriage. You can have victory with your children. You can have victory with your heritage. You can have victory on your job. You can have victory over those addictions. You can have victory over everything because the Bible says, and listen to the victory that God calls you, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And the Bible makes it very clear, he says this, nothing is impossible. Why? Because his total, ultimate greatness is yours. His power, his ultimate power, his ultimate glory, and his ultimate victory is ours. And when you win instead of lose, let me say it again for some of you that are in here. And when you win instead of lose, some of you, this is such a foreign statement, I'm going to say it again. And when you win instead of lose, because you've been losing so long in life, you don't know anything else but losing. I'll say it again. And when you win instead of lose, there's a celebration that goes on the inside. And you know what happens? You just can't keep your mouth quiet. You got to shout the goodness of God, which is his glory, brought about by his ultimate power that was brought through his majesty of great greatness. Come on, somebody. And I love this word. In Psalms, the word is such a cool word. I'll just pop it up because we're running out of time. I found this verse. It's such an exciting verse. I probably read it a million times, but it never jumped off the page like this. In Psalms 44, verse number 5, it says, through you, we will push down our enemies. You're going to tolerate anymore? You're going to put up with any stuff? Little wimp comes knocking at your door. Sorry, not going to tolerate it anymore. I'm not losing my children. I'm not losing my job. I'm not losing my finances. I'm not letting you rob, steal, and destroy and kill my house off. I'm going to stand up for it because I have the victory in majesty on high. May I tell you why you have the victory? Because the Bible says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Wow. Through your name, we will trample those who rise up against us. That's a pretty aggressive verse, isn't it? Last one I want to share with you isn't found in 1 Chronicles 29. Just an interesting one. What we should know about his majesty is this. Provision. That God in his majesty provides for his people. This, I'm going to take you to a scripture, and this is the last scripture for today. In Malachi, no, excuse me, in Micah. Now, I'm going to put it up on the overhead because if you find Micah in your Bible, it'll take you about 5 minutes to find Micah because you're not there very often. So I'm going to put it up, but we're talking about provision. In Micah, the 5th chapter, verse 4, and he says, speaking of Messiah, speaking of Jesus now, there's a prophetic utterance about Jesus. He shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. How? Who's the flock? That's us. Who's standing? That's Jesus. What's he going to feed us? The strength of the Lord. You got it. Now watch this. In the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. He knew who the Father was. He knew where he was. He knew the big corporation backing the little corporation. Follow me? In the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, speaking of Jesus, they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. That's prophetic, guys. And how Jesus feeds us with provision, how Jesus strengthens us with that provision is through the majesty. You and I are incorporated in the majesty. You're not losers. You're not failures. You're not low-lifers. You used to be a failure. Yep, you used to be a loser. You used to be a low-lifer. You no longer have to put up with that stuff. Now, you're incorporated in the majesty. Now, as Jesus is in the Father, you're in Jesus. That's why he tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Because I'm not coming in my own intellect, my own coolness. That went out the door a long time ago. I'm not coming into my own ability or strength or giftingness. I don't have any. Oh, I come boldly before the throne of grace. Not arrogantly, but humbly, because I am dependent on my Jesus to open the doors that no man can open and close the doors no man can close. So therefore today, you can walk out of here and be nothing. Keep on going on the road to being a loser. Do nothing about what you heard. But today the good news is preached to you, that Jesus came and paid the price for you on that cross at Calvary. And he incorporated you that are born of the Spirit of God into majesty on high, because Jesus is at the right hand and you are in Jesus. And that, my friends, brings to you ultimate greatness, ultimate power, ultimate glory, ultimate victory, and ultimate provisions. And it's all received by faith in who he is. All things are possible to him that believes. If God spoke to you today, come on, give him a great big praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.